Luke was a physician. And he also wrote by revelation the book of Acts. He was there. He was a firsthand witness of many of the great, wonderful miracles that transpired in the book of Acts. And he was also there when Paul was beaten many times. And it is interesting in the book of Acts how it only mentions that Paul gets healed once, and that was when he was stoned to death. Luke was there to put salve on his wounds, or whatever they did, to take care of him and other people who may have been hurt or injured or sick. That was a tremendous sharing. One of the things that prevent believers from receiving the maximum that God has available to them, whether it's healing, whether it's direction, wisdom, whatever, is ourselves. Because we live in such a dark, cruel, dank, devilish world, it tries to suppress what God has made available to every one of us. He tries us to make us feel like we're not worthy, or that we're not smart enough or good enough to receive the abundance that Jesus Christ made available to us. Or we don't believe God has forgiven us. Made me think of it. I just wrote down what I'm going to share in 30 seconds. When Steve taught that record where it says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," how many times in the Gospels, I don't know the answer to this, by the way, how many times in the Gospels is forgiveness mentioned? I know that one record where they let the guy down from the roof, you know, into the fellow. Hey, that would be a neat fellowship. You're there in fellowship, all of a sudden, you know, some guy comes down through the roof in a pallet and needs healing. That was a real laugh, actually. kind of sounded like Elmer Fudd. But thy sins be forgiven thee. And, you know, then that was what Jesus Christ said. And those guys that were watching him, whoever it was, religious people are always the worst. They're just the worst. They're the worst. They are the worst. You want to irritate me? Put me in a room of religious people. I'd probably kill myself. Or them. I just can't handle it. And but, you know, they were questioning Jesus Christ again, questioning him, blah, 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 blah. Well, he said, well, is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or, you know, all your tentacles, they're not tentacles, whatever you got in your leg, I don't know, tendons, blah, 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 blah. I guess them octopuses have them tentacles. I don't know anything. But is it easier to say that? Jesus Christ always seemed to get to the cause of the problem. And so oftentimes with believers that I have the privilege of fellowshipping with, it is that. It's condemnation, and it's their lack of believing that God has forgiven them. Look, we're forgiven. It doesn't matter, man, what you did. It doesn't matter what somebody else, because they're forget. You know, not only is he forgiven, remember, he's also forgiven everybody else too. That's a big key. You know, if you want any sort of kind of cool fellowship with people, you have to have, well, for people with ministries, Dr. Werewolf said, the two biggest things required is forgiveness and patience. And I, you know, through the years of, definitely seeing how important that is. Look at what Paul did before he became an apostle, before he got born again. What did he do for a living? You haven't hailed and dragged men and women into jail for going to fellowship yet. He did. He sat at the feet. He was responsible for Stephen's death. A man of God brought the papers and said, okay, kill him. And they killed him. He stood there and watched. One of the words used to describe Saul before he got born again was ravage. I forget what the word is. But in the Greek, of course, it means to ravage as a savage beast. He just beat the hell out of people. Men and women, children, ripped them into, throw them into prisons. You ever been to prison lately? Not a pretty place. I taught at San Quentin for a year. Taught at Raw Way for a year. Been to the Newark jail. I visited. On a 110 degree day. I imagine the prisons there weren't as nice as Newark. But he pulled these people into these prisons, threw them in. There was an onslaught against believers, and he was very much involved in throwing believers into jail. God's people, wonderful people, just like him. Hannah and Siglo get dragged by her hair, clothes ripped off, thrown into a jail with a bunch of old men. I don't know. But think about how awful that would be. And yet, Paul was the one responsible. Well, the devil was, but he was committed. And he was committed to something very devilish, very harmful, and very frightening, actually. And yet, because of God's tender mercy. God, John's prayer took me out. I don't even know what happened after that. His grace, his forgiveness. Paul got born again. And then loving believers took care of him for many years, trained him, worked with him, taught him, let him observe. Let him grow. Right? Never, ever tell somebody they're too zealous. Good Lord, we want you zealous. Huh? God wants you zealous. Never tell people, stop speaking a word. You're tired. Why do you want to pray for everybody? Come on, take it easy. Slow down. No, hell no. Pray. Speak the word. But if we are riddled in our hearts with condemnation, if we are riddled in our guts with condemnation, not really believing God has forgiven us, we're going to have one heck of a time being able to believe him to heal someone or yourself. Let it go, man. It's a weight that we have no right carrying. That's not one of our sonship rights. Jesus Christ paid the price completely. It's done. It's over. Let go and let God. And Revelation's a fun thing to be able to manifest if we ever get the privilege of getting it. It makes no sense five senses. Last night, we're singing right before Bob taught, I Believe God. I hope that was the song, because that's what I was thinking anyway, it was. Wasn't it? Who led the meeting? Good job, Albert. Was it I Believe God, right? But as that song was being sung, and even before that, I had my eyes and my heart and my prayers focused and fixed on one person here. I mean, fixed. And then, in the middle of that song, somebody had given me something earlier that night, which I wasn't really absolutely sure what it was. And I just handed this thing to somebody. It ended up being a pretty cool deal. That's God. Eh? And I wasn't thinking about, you know, I was almost distracted from praying. I was like, I'm praying, and then it's like, oh, well, wait, okay. Look, he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure to do it. We stop God from doing it, not really stop him from doing it, but we've stopped from the blessings of really receiving it because of our doubts, our condemnation, and so on and so forth, and it's just a bunch of garbage. Why don't we go to Psalm 73? We'll be out of here soon. I just got a couple things on my mind. Truly God is good to Israel, even as such are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. When I was sharing the word the other day, I mentioned this record. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. Oh, that's not the one. Go to 77. That's the other one where he looks without. 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my own voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I think most of us at one point or another in our lives have been there where we're troubled, we're bugged so badly that we can't sleep, that it almost prevents us from sleeping because we're troubled. Well, Asaph was a prophet. He was a man of God. Well, let's see. He goes, I remembered God and was troubled. Maybe what he was remembering was how good God was and he wasn't getting through and maybe he condemned himself. Maybe he thought he was letting God down. I don't know. Maybe that's a thought that you might have because you haven't done this or you haven't been to fellowship in 2 months or something or whatever it is the old adversary throws at us. Here, I don't know exactly what was going on with Asaph, but he remembered God, he was troubled, he complained, and I know we've never done that. And my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled I can't even talk. God. And I'll bet you some great things happened last night after the fellowship. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Man, this guy's having a hell of a time. This is rough stuff that maybe, possibly, just maybe, we've been through. Maybe we've been through days and weeks like this where you just shake your head and cry. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Boy, now watch how he changes from being just so, so miserable because of how lousy he felt about himself, about looking within at the lack in his life or the disappointment, to what happens here. But I got tears in my eyes. I can't see. I hate that. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. So he went from being completely overwhelmed by looking within to back in alignment and harmony, back in fellowship with God. Why? Because he remembered how great God is. Why? He remembered how God had delivered Israel. He remembered certain things that God did. And it wasn't even selfish. He wasn't looking like what God did, all the things he did for himself. Sometimes all it takes is thinking of a remember. Listen to what Steve shared about this human being who was virtually turned into an animal by spirits. We live in a world that is controlled by these spirits. We play it off and let other people take care of it, or this or that. That's basically, you know, like there's two cultures. Well, there's two spiritual kingdoms. You know, of course, the plant kingdom, the animal, but really God and the devil. And the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He is the God of this world. So a lot of times, without being, you know, Ronald Revelation or, you know, Donald Discerning of Spirits, you know, there needs to be an awareness of God's presence and power in us at all times. When you're at that restaurant, do you ask God stuff? When you're walking down the street, do you just walk around with, you're a son of God. And wherever you is, I'm telling you right now, wherever you is wherever you is. God is wherever we are. Wherever we are, it's God and Christ in us. Driving down the street, walking into the grocery store, going to the laundromat, walking in Manhattan, even there. Well, especially there. No. You know, wherever we are, God is. And condemnation is a life sucker. It sucks the very life of God out of us, at least out of our brains. It's not out of us, but it's not profitable for anything. Condemnation, one of the definitions of condemnation is simply words against. Words against us. The word devil means accuser. Did you know that? That's what he does constantly. He's either accusing you or he's accusing the brethren. He's always accusing, always accusing, always accusing. Look. Old Asaph remembered God, got back in fellowship with God, and he was just wonderfully blessed. 1 John 4. Actually, 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. That's what we've had the privilege of doing this weekend. We've got to hear, and we've got to see We got to handle with our hands this word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Remember that poem, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day"? You guys are wonderful sermons to behold, and it's a beautiful sight. Watching you is just such a blessing. Watching you is such an invigorating thing. You're God's masterpieces. You ain't some piece of junk. That we've seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen, and that which we have heard, we speak. It's like that opening night. You receive God's word, you look at it, you do it, then you declare it. And that's what they saw, they heard, and then they declared, "We unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you," why? "That your joy may be full." God wants his people happy. He wants his people happy. He wants people to walk in the joy of the Lord. That was their strength. The word blessed, one of the definitions for the word blessed is happy. He wants us happy. If we're condemning ourselves, if we're not forgiving or allowing God's forgiveness to transpire in our hearts, it's very difficult to be happy. So we need to just let him bless us like he does. "These things write unto you, we write unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." They heard the word, they declared it. I love it. It's all through here. That God is light. He's like super, super light. There's no light. He invented light. He is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Just like we have enjoyed this weekend. This weekend, it's just, why do we go home? I don't know. Stupid. "Walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins," he's faithful. God is faithful, and God is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. I forget who taught that. Michael. You know, when these weekends happen, they all just fit so good together. You forget who says what. Main thing is you remember something somebody said. At least one thing. But the way he looks at us. I think Joe taught it. Oh man, Joe's teaching was unbelievably, they all were. So I think these thoughts of fear and doubts and worries and condemnation, well, I don't think it, I know it, really prohibits our walk and our walking in light as he is the light. It prohibits us from walking as sons of God with great joy and great peace and great happiness. If we say we have no sin, if the truth is not, If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Chapter 5, 4. Yeah. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That doesn't mean we should get crucified. That means that we should give. You know, I can't remember the last time I taught on abundant sharing, or whatever you want to call it, giving. But every year since we started Harbor Light, which I don't remember, what year was it? 1990. Every year, the abundant sharing has increased. And you know why? Because people are blessed. People give when they're blessed. That's why they give. Otherwise, I'd prefer you keep your stupid stuff. Because you don't get anything out of it. God doesn't get anything out of it, you know. But the greatest thing we can give is our lives in service. You know, last night watching, you know, Bob and Karen and Dean up discussing matters of life till 3:30 in the morning because of the care and concern for the church, you know, and that's not abnormal amongst many of you. You give your lives in service, selfless service, because you want to. You want to help. You want to be there for somebody if they need you with God's word. You want to be able to provide that which they may be lacking. I want you to provide that which is lacking in my life. We got a great thing going because we have Christ in us. So we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, first night I just bawled my eyes out watching. I mean, these guys look, I don't know what they look like. The guy, the parking crew, you guys think you had something with the rain. They were out there, the parking crew, man, they were soaked and they were cold and they were happy. They gave. They gave in a great way. While teaching was going on, they missed the teaching so that everybody could get here safe. And as you guys came a little later when it was raining, you weren't even complaining. You were so fantastic. Your attitude towards God's word has determined great things for this weekend. But watching people in their selfless service, man, is just it's like a great picture, you know. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, there it is, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If you see somebody have a need and you just walk by, like that parable in the Gospels, the love of God isn't manifested in you. Don't shut up the bowels of your compassion. But if you're riddled with condemnation, fear, thinking God hasn't forgiven you, you're going to miss it. You're not going to be able to really bless somebody like you really could, because you're not blessed. You can't give measles if you ain't got it. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Like this great verse that Steve shared. For if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemneth us not, then have we confidence toward God. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll close here. It's just been a tremendous honor and blessing to be with all of you wonderful people. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your life, what it means to God. Prayerfully, you'll leave this place knowing how great you are and how wonderful That gift of Holy Spirit is in you. Look. There's nothing too hard for God. Is there anything too hard for God? Finally, verse 10, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God. You'll need it. That you may be able to stand against the methodologies of the adversary, the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you, again he says it, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. All those rights, all those privileges, all the things that God has given us so freely, which includes the manifestations, we just need to continue to tell ourselves what the Word of God says over and over again until it becomes our normal response to thoughts that come our way, to things people say, or things we hear of people saying, that our thoughts will be brought to God's Word about what it says about us. I'm righteous. I'm redeemed, I'm sanctified, I'm everything that God is and Christ is in me. So, stand, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith or believing, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer is such a vital... Last night I stayed in my room while everybody was in the dining room. I stayed in my room and I prayed. I just prayed. I prayed and I prayed and I read my word a little bit, and that's all I did for quite a while until Diane came back and brought me a weenie and those, what do they call a weenie and a buck? A pig in a blanket, yeah. Weenie and a buck. I don't know. Yeah, had me a couple of them. But then, you know, then it was, you know, a neighborhood party. And then it got serious. Life is such a trip. I just love being alive. It's fun sometimes when I renew my mind. Yeah. So, all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the shield of believing, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, yeah, praying. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. You pay attention. You watch. You pay attention. You watch. It's kind of a fun thing to do. And supplication for the saints. As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Boy, I don't know how many times in the church epistles and stuff, but Paul asks believers to pray for him for specific things that he was lacking in or things that he needed. Where'd we ever get an idea that a leader can't ask people to pray for them? It's pride. It's stupidity. Well, it's stupid. We need help. All of us do. So this great section, sons of God with all power, Chapter 5. Just got to go here one more little thing. One more little thing. Yeah, the love of God. Yeah, little. Be therefore followers, imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. We're to imitate God and his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For people like us who were dead in trespasses and sin without God and without hope in this world. That's a huge extension of love. I have one son, and as mad as I've gotten at him in the past, I would never give him up for anything. I would die 50 deaths to save his life if I had to. I can't imagine having a perfect son who never did anything but my will, who never did anything wrong, who never sinned, who never did one thing wrong, but all he did was God's will. They said, good master. He said, there's none good but God. That's a perfect person saying that. And God gave that person so that you and I could sit here with eternal life and be able to manifest God's power. Wherever you go, Christ is. Wherever you are, Christ is. Christ is wherever you are. And you have the same power, the same strength, spiritually speaking, that he did. The works that he did, we can do also. Look at this. Followers of God as his dear children, and walk in love. The word of God . The hearing of it is what causes us to believe. The written word of God is the greatest healing reality there is. The love of God is right there. People in the years have tried to separate the love of God and the word of God. Well, you just need to know more of the word. Well, no, you need to walk more in love. Oh, wait a minute. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. I think they both work together. If we really are working the word of God, we will walk in love. And boy, if there was ever a time in this restless world where people needed something, they need God's love and they need God's work. So thanks for coming. I love you. If I could ever be of assistance to any of you, I live on Ray Street still. Well, I'm back in my house now from a little vacation. And thanks for coming. You're the best. That's all I got. Bless you. Bye.